Amen. Thank you. Wonderful to see you all again this afternoon. I was already corrected when I called it this morning, but it is now a few minutes into the afternoon. So this afternoon, I'm just going to say this morning, come on. This morning, yeah, it feels better. You're also far apart. It's terrible. Can we move families? Belinda, why are you there? Klaus, you can come forward. They're social distancing. I'll leave you guys. Okay, that's much better. Check it. Peter, I won't ask you to move. Set up camp there. Okay, so this morning, we only have an hour, well, what's left of the hour, probably, but it's probably still an hour. So I want us, each of us, to really grab this hour and squeeze as much as you can out of it. So don't just, let us not just tick the box to say we went to church and we did church and the hours. Really want us to engage and enjoy and make the most of, and most of all, connect with the Father, connect with the Son through the Spirit. So my prayer for this morning, and thank you for opening up in prayer, but my prayer for this morning is really that the Holy Spirit would minister to each one of us here. But we need to engage. We need to be expectant and wanting to open our hearts to Him. Did we lock Colin outside? Colin, sorry, man. And we have Delia and team on worship. Thank you very much. So, Delia, why don't you guys come up and just tinkle in the background? Can I say tinkle? So, I'd love to hear if there are any testimonies of what God has done this week for you or through you. Todd, I know you want to share. So we had coffee this week, and the one thing that Todd said to me, and I was teasing him, I said, I'm going to get you to share it on Sunday. But he was speaking about the Sunday meeting. This is not the beginning of the week. It's the culmination of how you've lived from Monday to Sunday. And sometimes we have this perspective of, you know, Sunday is going to be the boost for the rest of the week. But it's actually us living this thing out daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right through into this morning. And this thing becomes the culmination and the celebration of a week lived in Christ, lived with Christ in us, and how we celebrate each and every day in Him and through Him. So there are no testimonies. I want to talk this morning, and we're going to worship. I trust that. So my expectation for this morning, and I've said I really desire that each one of us grab this morning and enjoy. My expectation for this morning is that we encounter Him. So that when I speak about Him, it's not just you hearing it, but it's you hearing it in the spirit of your bones, in the core of your being. So my expectation this morning is that we would walk in Him and through Him, and we'd feel Him and we'd be with Him and enjoy Him this morning, and that there would be an imprint and an impartation of having met with Jesus this morning. And there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than having met with Jesus. That through the rest of the week, and I spoke, is not what it's about. It's not about our experience on Sunday. But the Sunday, I would love it to be that God shifts something in us and fires something in us again that makes us alive and love him, and it springs on to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because this morning you met with the living God. This morning you encountered him. So,
So Nick asked for testimony, and so on Friday evening there was a Facebook Live thing of the prophetic training, and Andrew was talking, and right at the end of his talk he said, "I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling prophetically, and that there's a new wave coming of the Spirit, and you know, on our church. But for those who want to be used by that, you know, there's a new level of holiness. There's a new level of obedience to God that's needed, you know." And I was just sitting at home watching it on Facebook, you know, and I just said to God, "God, please, I wanna make room for you. I wanna let you into those areas of my life where I'm kind of still in control, you know." And I just simple responding to that word that I had heard, you know. And this morning I came in the previous service to church and we started to worship. And I'm telling you, just like there was like one song, one word started to be sung, and I could just see the Lord in front of me, and I was just weeping and weeping. Just, and it's amazing. This is the encouragement: is that I think, you know, Nick was saying we should meet with him, we should meet with God, we want to encounter God. I think if we just open ourselves, just say, "Work in me, God," like just be real with him, just in a simple way. Like I did, just Lord, have your way in me more. He responds immediately, and I think he's looking for that in us, to not just okay, well, I'll meet, but active. Jesus, let me meet you, and then he will come and meet with us.
That's right. That's good. I want to do something a bit different. I want Delia just to play a song. You don't have to stand; you can sit where you are. So this is not us worshiping, but it's this song I wanted to minister you, and it's going to lay a platform on what I want to quickly touch on, and then we'll worship. So that take me a little closer. So just as Lucas was saying, just present yourself and position yourself. Just close your eyes and just listen to the song. Prepare your heart for him, and open the eyes of your heart to see him, to see his face. Your Son, God, so that we could have life. And Jesus, before you left, you said that you would send your Spirit to live in those that would believe. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you would do your work here this morning, God, as you reveal your Son Jesus to us. And we would lift up the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who rules and reigns forever, whose kingdom will never end. Be exalted here this morning, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Have your way here. Have your way here, God. And Jesus, would you tear down anything that has set itself up against the knowledge of who you are, God? Would you bring that low, Father? Any false ideas of who we think that you are, who we think that you should be, God? And would you replace it with the reality of truth by your Spirit, God? And I also pray for understanding that for those that don't understand the things of the Spirit, God, that you would open the eyes, open their eyes, God, to see your truth, to see who you are, Lord, as you minister to us this morning through your word, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thanks, Delia. You can play, you can sit, and you can stay there. So this morning I want to quickly touch on, and I don't have a lot of time. I would love to for us to worship and enjoy the worship. So when I was trying to find something to prep on this morning, I just had a sense of God wanting to do something by His Spirit, you know, like the Spirit of God. So how do I speak about the Holy Spirit? How do we reveal the Holy Spirit? And I landed on speaking about walking in step with the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit. And as we know that God is Spirit, and the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, who is the Son. And the Son is like the Father, but they're different. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word says that we should walk in step with the Spirit. So what it is saying is we should be walking in step with Jesus, walking in step with God. So how do we do that? Zareen, if you could put Romans 8, verse 5 to 17. So it does not come natural for us to walk in step with God, or to walk in God, walk in step with the Spirit. It is something that is supernatural. So we all know that when we are born again, Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So before we are born again, we're walking according to our own carnal, worldly, sensual knowledge. We respond to our emotions, we respond to our own personality traits, which is flesh. Or you could call it soulish, you know, it's your own selfish way. You live according to what pleases you only. And when we get born again, we get born again by the Spirit of God. Our spirit becomes alive. And we start, our spirit now starts to learn to imitate the things of God and to desire the things of God, which are contrary to the things of the Spirit. So I want to quickly read out of Romans 8. Paul says, those who live according to the flesh, have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So I just wanted to make sure I'm reading the same version. Verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So if we continue to be governed by our old ways, our old selfish nature, our old selfish desires, if we continue to be ruled and governed and led by that, it leads to death. But if you get ruled and governed and are in step and in sense with what God is doing or what God is saying, it leads to life and peace. Who here doesn't want to live a life of peace? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Hostile. In Galatians it says, our flesh is at war with the Spirit. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and nor can it do so. It can't. It would love to, but it can't. It's got a rule and a mind of its own, and it wants to accomplish its own thing. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. If you stay continually led and given over to the things of your old nature, we say, you cannot please God. Verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So you cannot say, I belong to Jesus, but you're living a life according to what you please. So according to what is comfortable for me, what is easy, what makes me feel secure, you know, I don't want to be stretched in any way or become out of my comfort zone. Or I have this personality trait that I'm not prepared to give up because that's who I am. Verse 10 says, but if Christ is in you, and Christ is in all of us here, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life, will also give life to your mortal body because of His Spirit who lives in you. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, and it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. We have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. The mind of the flesh is hostile to the things of God, and the mind of the Spirit, you will please God and you'll live a life that's worthy of Him. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And we have been called children of God. When we were born again, we were born. Those that believe would not be born of the flesh of a mother or a husband's will, but be born of the Spirit, born of God. Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. And then you can put up Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. But I say this, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. It means they're at war with each other. And they prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we live in the verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I want to just quickly expound on that a little bit. I want to just highlight this fact that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And I think if we can take that one thing this morning, if you know that the Spirit inside you, God has made your spirit alive and He has given you His Holy Spirit, and the function of the Spirit in us is to reveal righteousness to us and enables us to walk contrary to the flesh. So we have this body, Paul calls it the body of death, that we're walking around with this nature that is opposed to the things of God, but He's given us your spirit, which is able to war against that nature. So if you're not in step with the Spirit, if you are not drawing close to God, like a moment like this morning, is going to help you war against the things of the flesh. And it's not only the things of the flesh that war against us. It's the worries of the world, and it's the enemy. We have an enemy that also comes and will come and war against you. But I'm talking specifically the battle that rages within your own selfish nature, the flesh. So God has given us of His Spirit to help us war against our natural desire, which is contrary to the things of God. And it says that these things prevent you from doing what you would. So your flesh will prevent you from doing what you would. So how does that affect us in the church? How does it affect us the way we walk out Christianity with each other in the fellowship of believers within this body? So if you're walking in the Spirit, means you're starting your morning with you're washing yourself in the Word. You're starting every day on your knees crying out to God, God, thank you for salvation. Father, thank you for everything that I have in you through your Spirit. These are the weapons that God has given us to war against the flesh. Thank you, God, that you've given me a Spirit that is willing to sacrifice my time, a Spirit that is willing to sacrifice my money. Are your daily decisions, the way you walk out daily, are they influenced by the Spirit of God? So I know it's easy to preach this and it's very difficult to walk, but I'm gonna give you, or this morning, just hearing it is gonna awaken you to, okay, am I making my decisions based in what my own natural flesh wants, or am I walking with God and making decisions in line with the Spirit of God? Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I being led by the Spirit of Nick? In everything. And I know when I first got saved, I would say, oh, but you still have to make your own decisions and you can't rely on God for anything. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you can rely on God for everything. Your daily responses, your lifestyle. Does your lifestyle reflect a life that is walking in the Spirit? Do my desires reflect a life? Am I desiring things of the Spirit and things of the kingdom? Or is my heart set on the things of the world and the things that are temporary? What I spend my time on, the way I spend my time, do I say, Father, is this the best use I can do of my time today? Is this walking in the Spirit, God? Are you pleased with this use of my time? As I said, your money, Father, what would you want me to do with my finances? That's walking in step with the Spirit. Your words, Father, the response that I want to have, the reaction I want to say, is this in line with your Spirit? Would you be pleased with this, Jesus? Your Spirit is in me. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I say this, God, or would it be opposed? Would this be out of the flesh, or would this be out in line with, in step with the Spirit? Father, these thoughts that are in my mind, are these godly thoughts? Are these the thoughts of, am I letting my mind drift where I know Jesus wouldn't want me to have my mind and my focus and my attention on? The Word says that where my treasure is, my heart would be. Do I treasure the things of the kingdom and the things of the Spirit, the things that I cannot see? Obedience. If someone in authority comes and tells me to do something, do I react in the flesh? Do I justify, or am I obedient? Father, would you want me to respond in this way? Am I obedient to the leaders? Am I obedient to my boss? Am I obedient to my father? Sacrifice. Guys, we need you to host. We need you to do this. We need you to come and volunteer. Sacrifice. God, can I say no, or should I say yes, God? What is in line with your Spirit? What is it going to cost? Can I pay the price, Lord? Being in line and in step with the Spirit, or am I listening to that? Nah, not really. Just sit. Someone else is going to do it. Am I walking in peace, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and all the other fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Am I walking in the fruit of the Spirit, or am I fearful? Am I full of anxiety? Have I lost my joy? Don't I have peace anymore? I don't love the unlovable. Am I being unfaithful? You don't have time for Him. You don't have time for the things of the Spirit. Why? Because we're making decisions in the flesh. We're making decisions that will pander to the flesh that is at war with the Spirit. And it's not a natural, as I said, it's not a natural. You're not going to naturally walk in the things of the Spirit. It's a war. your flesh, your own selfish desire is at war with the things of God. Does anyone disagree with me? My flesh does. You know, I'd prefer it not to be. I'd prefer it to be, oh God, your grace is sufficient, and it is sufficient. His grace enables us to walk in the things of the Spirit. And when I sin, and everyone sins, John says, he who says he's without a sin is a liar. But when you do sin and you come before him, you come before the Father through the Spirit, and you say, God, have mercy on me. I'm so sorry. I don't want to pander to my flesh. I want to be a man that walks in the Spirit. I just want to read out of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 verse 1, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. How do you imitate God? Is your life, when you're walking, are you imitating him? In every decision, in every thought. And I know it's hard, and I'm saying every. But when you're walking in the Spirit and you're strengthened in faith by the Spirit, you're able to imitate God, be an imitator of God. Verse 8 says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And verse 10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases him. So be an imitator of him. Find out what pleases him. So God, what I'm about to do, does this please you? This person that I'm about to marry, would this please you? This bar that I'm going to go drink it. Is this going to please you, God? Find out what pleases the Lord. And then verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Sorry, verse 15, I don't think I gave this to you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So it would be foolish if we didn't understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be unwise. So there's these exhortations for us to live a life that is worthy of the calling. So we've been born again by grace. There's nothing we can do to earn it. I don't do these things. I don't walk in the Spirit so that I can earn God's favor or earn salvation. But it'll bring me peace. It'll bring me maturity. It'll bring me a life that is overflowing, a life that is counting in the kingdom, a life that is helping others. As opposed to me walking in the flesh, battling with these things on and over and over and over and over. And the question is, why God? Why God? It's because you're not giving over to the things of the Spirit. You're not giving in. You're not submissive. You're not accepting God's ways. We think that in our own strength, that these things will lead to life. But they don't. The Word says that they lead to death. So we want to be living epistles. We want to be filled with the life of God. And we want to overflow through the power of the Spirit. But we have to walk in the Spirit. In John, he writes in 1 John chapter 2, he says, if you call yourself a child of God, I'm paraphrasing, he says, live like Jesus lived. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. It says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Verse 6, Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. We must walk as Jesus walked. And we can't walk like he did 2,000 years ago, but it is a walking in the Spirit. And how did Jesus walk? He was up early every morning finding God's face. He was on the mountaintop in solitude. We are so busy. That's why I said, what are you doing with your time? Is your time, the way you're spending it, is it submitted to the Spirit? Are we too busy for him? Do we have time for him? We have plenty of time for him. We just don't use the time wisely. We just pour it down the drain and say we don't have time for Jesus. Is that quite heavy? Whoever claims to live in him. We all here claim to live in him. We must walk as Jesus walked. And it's not impossible. As I said, by God's grace, he enables us to. We just have to choose how we're going to walk this life out. We get a finite amount of time here. Choose what you do with your time wisely. Let's be a people that walk in the Spirit. We want to be a people that love the things of God. We love his church. God loves his church. He loves the people. We want to love the church. We want to love getting together. We want to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and to prayer. These are the things that are of the Spirit. They're not of the flesh. And when we're called to that, the flesh is at war with the Spirit. Do not give in to the flesh. All right, so we're going to worship. I want to just trust what we need this morning. As I said, I wanted an encounter, that you would encounter him by his Spirit, that you would see him, that he is worth this life. He is worth laying it all down. It's worth walking in step with the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we're going to worship him, and we'll see where he takes us. Let's stand. You guys can come forward as well. Practice safe. 1.5 meters, 1,500 millimeters, or 150 centimeters.
When Delia was singing that song about going deeper, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to open up at Psalm 37. And as Nick's been preaching, it's just bringing about a summary of Nick's preach. I don't want to read the entire verses, but I'm just going to take out the key words out of Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust. And Psalm 37, these three verses that I'm going to share with you, comes out of a relationship with God. And we can't do what Nick's telling us to do if we don't actually have a relationship with God. It's like having a relationship with each other. I can't have a relationship with Nick if I don't actually spend time with Nick, know Nick, enjoy Nick, get to know the good sides of Nick, but even the flaws, and then be able to have that relationship where I can learn to trust. So it says that trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. It goes on with much more. Then verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. We need to delight in him. We need to delight in our Father. He wants a relationship with us. And there's so much to delight in, even when we're going through the hard times. When we stop and we're thankful, God shows us things where he's been so faithful. And then verse 3 says, commit your way to the Lord. It says, roll and repose each care of your load on him and trust and lean on him. And then in verse 7 it says, be still and rest in the Lord and wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. So I already challenged, just go and read Psalm 37 and ask the Holy Spirit just to show you ways. Just as we have relationships with people, God wants a relationship with us. His love is there, his arms are open, he's crying out and he wants us. And we're going to find it so much easier to trust him and to walk in him if we actually go by according to his word.
Thank you. Let's open our hearts to him.
Here I am waiting. Jesus more and more. Sing it again and make it the cry of your heart. Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love and bring me to my knees and may I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me. Oh. captivate our hearts. You saved us by your grace. How wonderful, how lovely is your name. You captivate our hearts. Save us by your grace. How wonderful, how lovely is your name. You captivate our hearts. Save us by your grace. Oh, Jesus, we love you.
are, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that word. If you know in your heart that you want to make right with the Lord this morning, you want to be more, you want to be faithful in walking closer with Him and closer to Him. You might be operating more in the flesh and reasoning in your own mind as opposed to finding His face and seeking the things of the Spirit. So I want to give you an opportunity right now. Would you, just as Delia leads us in one more chorus, just raise your hands to Him where you are. Repentance is us turning away from the way we were going and changing direction and walking towards Jesus, changing direction and walking in the way that pleases Him. So where you are right now, just in your heart, you between you and the Lord, you make right with the Lord and determine in your heart to love Him and to seek after Him and to thirst after His ways and the things of the kingdom, God. So Father, I want to just pray over these people this morning, Lord, that you would come and do a work only that your Spirit can do, God, as each one of us surrender to your ways, God. Your ways are good. Your ways bring life, Lord. Father, we want to be like you. We want to glorify you and we want to reflect you well, God. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus, would you come and have your way in us, God? Could you do that chorus again? Has anyone got a testimony of what God has done this morning, or any revelation, anything you want to share in the mic? The mic is open. Come, Baker, pull in, man. Josh, is that on?
So this, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So this morning I was it's actually quite lucky to have church at 12 o'clock. It gives you a lot of time to spend time in the Word and just thinking about things. So I was sitting there this morning and I'm thinking about things, and I'm just going to speak into what Lucas has said and tie it up with Nick. So Ernest Hemingway said, "I only envy one man, the man who has never been to Africa, for he has much to look forward to." And that is like the kingdom of heaven ahead of us. It is much to look forward to. You know, we look at ourselves sometimes and we can so easily see the wrong things. But that's brilliant, because you're operating at 1%, you've still got 99% to look forward to. And Lucas spoke of this, the Lord is doing something new. He really is doing something new. And there is much to look forward to. And I want to be part of that. I really want to be part of that. And the scripture that came to me was a strange one, because it's Matthew 18, and the disciples, and I'm paraphrasing, the disciples come to Jesus and they said, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom?" And he called a child unto him and he said, "Unless you change and become like this child, you will not even enter the kingdom." And it was, you can see that first step, and it never leaves you. Nick has been speaking about our flesh. The first step is becoming like a child. A child is humble. A child is not haughty. A child doesn't think. You've got to suspend your opinions and suspend your thoughts and put them to one side. And that is how you receive. Just by asking that question, the disciples were already telling you they weren't yet part of the kingdom, because they were thinking, "Who is the greatest?" That's not a kingdom question. But what is the value? I'm looking at this and my flesh is going, "Well, Mark, why should you follow the Spirit? Why should you be in step with the Spirit?" Because there's so much to look forward to. I've looked at my own life and I'm going, "My goodness, is this it? Is this it?" I have to ask myself, is this the level of joy? Is this the level of love? Is this it? No. There's 99% more to look forward to. Really, there is. Lord, we thank you that you just reveal yourself to us in little bits at a time. We can never take you for granted, Lord. It's an endless landscape. It's endless. We'll never come to the end of you. You give us what we can handle, enough. You give us enough that we can root one foot in the ground so that we have the faith to take the next step. And that we root that next step in you so that we may take the next step. It's called a walk of faith. Lord, we just thank you that you're always faithful on each step. But Lord, I pray today for boldness. The reason I wanted to speak of encouragement is because I came with a broken perspective. I'm so quick to see that we're only 1%. That's my broken perspective, that I miss the 99% that's still out there. I can still walk into 99% more. So Lord, I pray that the 99% is an encouragement. Just like Paul and Peter kept their eyes on the prize that was in the future that wasn't here yet, that we too can keep our eyes on what hasn't happened yet. We know you have predestined great plans for us, great works for us to walk into. Lord, I just pray we have the boldness, the courage, together as a people to walk into those great works, those great things you have planned with us, planned for us, so that we may experience more of the 99% of you that lies out there, even in this life on earth. Lord, I really want to experience more of that. Lord, I pray, even Lucas didn't mention one thing that Andrew said. One of the things Andrew said was, the Lord has been preparing new people. There's a new time. It's a freshness. He's preparing new people to walk into this as well. He's preparing new people to lead. He's preparing new people to prophesy. He's preparing new apostles. He's preparing new people to spread Him amongst us. That's you guys. That's all of you guys there. I don't think the old guard is in any way envious, because I think they're sitting back. I think they're sitting back like Ernest Hemingway, and they're going, I envy you. I envy you because of what you're still going to walk into, what you're still going to experience. And they want more of that for you. So don't be shy. It's an open mic. Lucas is very encouraging. Everybody's very encouraging. So if you've got something to share, there you go.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, everyone. We have run out of time. It is 10 past 1. Delia's going to play in the background while we say hello and goodbye to each other. Trust that you were blessed. I really hope that God did do something in your heart, and that you were changed forever, and there will be good fruit. Amen. Have an awesome week. Just remember, Monday to Sunday, in the words of Todd.